20 years ago, the federal treasurer, Peter Costello, became what you might call the honorary minister for procreation.
Mr. Costello, are you the family-friendly treasurer saying get out there and procreate?
If you can't have children, it's a good thing to do. You know, you should have, if you can, not everyone can, but, you know, one for your husband and one for your wife and one for the country.
So some will manage two for the country, but two only replicates yourselves. So if you want to fix the ageing demographic, you're just back to square after two. You're making no net improvement. And some of you, of course, will have to have bigger than one for the country. You'd have to make up for some of your friends that aren't even replicating themselves. You go home and do your patriotic duty tonight.
Yes, there's nothing like warming up the marital bed with a bit of policy population chit-chat. Peter Costello was, of course, announcing the baby bonus back then, a controversial $3,000 lump sum payment to new parents to incentivise Australians to prioritise having children at a time when the country was under pressure to find a way to push up our rapidly falling birth rate, much like now. 20 years on, Australia is experiencing a near-record low fertility rate. So could Australia be selling more adult diapers than baby nappies in the future? They say within about a decade we'll have more retirees than we'll have children. Why do you think people are walking away from a future with children? Is it something personal? Is it something that we're all experiencing? Climate change has been mentioned a lot on the text line. What do you think we should do to incentivise people to have children? 0418 226 576 is the text line. A very personal, but I think very insightful text and story, this one. I'm not having children because it's too difficult. Work, childcare, schooling, all the stress I'll be under, the barriers to my work life as well. Also, what would the future of the child look like? Climate disaster, cyberbullying. Also, women aren't respected enough for our role in society, and I have some personal issues too, like postnatal depression and perhaps susceptibility towards that. I won't be able to care for my child like my parents could care for me. I don't know. If life is the gift it's been made out to be, why not just take it easy with my partner and have no kids? I don't know if I'm missing out. Trevor in Sydney on the text line says, the two basic reasons for no kids is to do with the failed social experiment called the nuclear family. So raising children is a lot more individual work, investor greed, forcing women to do the work in the workforce rather than spending the money to automate. Women are exhausted, says Trevor. Lots and lots of texts. I'll come to some more shortly. Tell me what you think the driving factors behind our near record low birth rate is and what we can do to turn it around. 0418 226 576. Sophie Renton is a demographer and social researcher at the she's also a managing director of McCrindle. Sophie, Australians are likely to have an average of 1.6 babies over the next 5 years. This is, I think, compared to the international average of 2.3. This, when you hear back to Costello and the talk of concerns over our declining birth rate going back decades, this was really in the making for some time. Where does this decline begin, do you think?
This decline has been occurring since about the 1970s. Australia's fertility rate has been declining. And I think there's a few different factors that lean into that. And some of those, the text messages have already started to identify with the challenges around cost of living, two parents working, the expectations and the roles and the conversation of what is a woman's role in child rearing and what's a man's role in child rearing, and then how does that impact the nation. So there's a lot of factors, macro and individual, that go into the conversation around fertility rates.
And don't get me wrong, I mean, you do hear a lot about other countries in our region, like South Korea. Their birth rate is 0.7. In China, I think the population is expected to shrink by 109 million by mid-century. Japan, they've got a shrinking and ageing population. You might say that Japan is much more along this ageing kind of project than we are. What can we learn from these countries?
Yeah, there are a number of countries that are further down the line than Australia is. So it is good that we're starting to look at this and addressing it. And I know we have been for a number of years and haven't quite found the solution yet. And if you look at other countries as well, no one else has really found that solution, because they've tried a number of incentives to shift this conversation, whether that is baby bonuses, whether that is extended parental leave, whether that's single mixes that some governments have tried, but nothing has really shifted the dial yet on fertility rates for women in these countries.
There's lots of really interesting demographic side effects of this. There's the kind of obvious ones, like who's going to care for the aged in society, who's going to participate in the economy, who's going to top up the taxation system, who's going to be able to be of age for any future conflicts. But you've found some other interesting side effects that come with this decline in population and decline in fertility. What are those?
Yeah, you've mentioned those key ones there around that aging population and the under-resourced workforce, the people available to come into a conflict should the nation need it. But there is also the family social structure and going that layer deeper into that sense of community and connection and care. There is that sense of purpose and meaning, of people being able to give back and invest their life. And in some ways, that's been some of the challenge for people, that having a child takes away from their decisions and their sense of individuality and their opportunities to live their lives on their demands. However, society is, a beautiful place in some ways, when we can learn that self-sacrificial to put someone else's needs before us. And so then what does society look like when we have a very individualistic approach rather than a collective approach?
Yeah, I think the individualism is interesting, but then you've got to also ask yourself who stokes individualism. Surely our capitalistic society and emphasis on productivity might also kind of lead to those ends. I want to ask about Costello's baby bonuses. Sandra on the text line says it was a stupid idea. Two children per couple is less than best, and maybe we can be more generous to people outside the country and refugees. But her central point is really that the baby bonus was a stupid idea. It obviously didn't work.
Yes, it did work. Our fertility rate did increase, but it increased for a short amount of time and hasn't necessarily had the long-term implications. So there is a policy lever that can be used, but how long it lasts for and how effective it is in the long run, because it only got us up to about 2.1, which is really the replacement rate of fertility rather than the growth rate of the nation. And historically, Australia's growth has come through migration and overseas growth, and that's where we've got our workforce from to help our under-resourced workforce that we've had based on our fertility rates.
If you've just joined me, it's 25 minutes past four. Sophie Renton is a demographer and social researcher at MacCrindle. We're talking about Australia's declining birth rate. Experts from a variety of different fields are starting to get more than a bit anxious, considering the kinds of trends. We've got 1.6 babies on average versus the international equivalent of a 2.6, I believe. Tell me about this plan. We need a plan here, because most countries have tried to tackle this. They've all pretty much failed. So we've got to learn something here. Is it too premature to kind of institute dramatic policy changes? Is there more subtle kind of nudge theory things we can encourage people to think about?
I think there's a number of factors that we can consider around how to address this. And I think understanding where it comes from is crucial in that. If we look at women, there's more, and people in general, they're studying later in life. They're commencing their earning years later in greater levels of debt than ever before. So they're almost starting off on the back foot for couples looking to step into raising a family. There's the cost of living pressures, which is making, that housing feel unattainable, and people want to have that level of security and nesting before they bring children and families into the world. And so that's likely having that impact on the number of children people are having. And then if you look at women specifically who have had greater education, they are working and establishing their careers, it means that by the time they're turning their attention to having children, they are that little bit older. And so they're a bit more likely to be that one and done phase. So there's a number of factors that could be influencing it, which means that there's also a number of levers that we can explore for how to, shift the dial on this. But I think probably one of the overarching concepts that we need to consider is that people want to raise children in safe and healthy environments. And how do we actually create a feeling across Australia that enables people to do that? And, you know, the previous conversation is one that is on people's mind as they're thinking about raising children and raising families. So I think that big question is, how do we actually create a safe and healthy environment in Australia that can fuel people's desire to actually bring children into the world?
A real diversity of views on the text line. Mark in Narre Warren says, by far the greatest thing I've ever experienced in my life is having kids and now grandkids. Yes, we made sacrifices to have them, but they by far outweighed by the joys of these children. There's this text, having children is so much more difficult now given the economy, lack of permanent work and the housing crisis, lots of hurdles. Kelly in Townsville says, don't think we should be increasing the population, and being a parent has no appeal to me. What do you think about that idea? Do we need to accept that declining fertility is a negative thing?
Yeah, it's a really good question to ask, and I think it is a very individual question. So for some people, children isn't what they're looking for in life, and I think that's okay. Probably the part of the question that we do need to explore is for those that would love to have children but are feeling too burdened by the societal pressures to be able to do that. For young families, there are many that are leaving capital cities because they can't afford to live there and have children. And so the cost of the trade-off, I think, is becoming higher. So how do we look at the families that are wanting to have children, and how do we make that easier for them to do so?
Sophie Renton is a demographer and social researcher. She's also the managing director of McCrindle. Good to talk to you this afternoon, Sophie.
Thanks for having me.